Life Show, and I'm your host, Robin Daly. It's called the Yes to Life Show because I founded the charity Yes to Life over a decade ago to support people with cancer in taking a broad, integrative approach to their treatment, drawing on both conventional and complementary medicine. This show is the last in a series in which I've been focusing in on the new book, The Cancer Revolution, which is being sold entirely in aid of the charity. Its author is integrative medicine for cancer expert Patricia Peat, and she's supported by no less than 37 other experts from the UK and from around the world. The last eight shows have featured a few of this stellar lineup of contributors, and in today's show we're going out on a high with author and inspirational health guru Jason Vale, otherwise known as the Juice Master. Jason contributed Juicing for Cancer to the chapter Concentrated Nutrition, Juicing Raw and Superfoods. For today's show, I'm talking to Jason over Skype. Okay, brilliant to have you on the Yes to Life show, Jason. I so appreciate you contributing to our new book, The Cancer Revolution, and coming on today.
Well, more than my pleasure. It was an honour to be asked, not only for this interview, but also to contribute to what hopefully will be a groundbreaking and incredibly insightful and useful book for many people.
Thank you, thank you. So, unsurprisingly, the section you've contributed was on juicing. So, juicing's come to be a mainstay of integrative cancer programs, and for good reasons. So, would you like to tell us some of those reasons from your perspective?
Yeah, I would say the main reason from my perspective is the sheer volume of genuine live nutrition that tends to be required by anybody who is ill generally, let alone anybody who has whatever stage of cancer that they are suffering with. It's a lot easier to get the volume or spectrum of colour of nutrition into your body in its raw form if you juice it or blend it or a combination of the two. From a personal perspective, I'm extremely fortunate at this moment in my life never to have actually suffered from cancer personally, although, of course, like most, I've had several family members. My mother unfortunately passed away from cancer as well. Right. But I did have several illnesses such as asthma, eczema, hay fever, covered from head to foot, and psoriasis, and so on. And I knew that nutrition would be the answer. The challenge is, although I like to look at those colours, I still preferred to eat burger and chips at the time. So I had to find a different way, Robin, really, of getting that nutrition into my body. And now I have a strap line saying, if you can't eat it, then drink it. And there is, of course, a lot of science now that backs up that it's actually more bioavailable to the cells when you juice than you eat. They did several studies. There was a study done on asthma and apple juice, and they showed that actually the wheezing of all the participants halved within a space of a month by having a glass of apple juice, four glasses it was, of apple juice every day. But actually, when they ate the apples, the equivalent amount, there was no change at all. So obviously, it did, and they don't understand why. And sometimes it isn't for science or us to understand why something works in a particular way, but just that it does.
Yeah, that's the most important thing for people with cancer, for sure. All right, well, look, you already said a little bit about yourself. I mean, I'm just interested to hear the whole story of how you got into juicing in such a major way. You've got to have had a really significant personal impact for you to become, you know, such a juice fanatic.
Well, yeah, well, well, Robin, I was incredibly blessed that nature was on my side. What I mean by that is that, of course, look, there's no such thing as a cure-all for everything, nor should anybody purport that anything really essentially cures anything. It's whether actually at the time that you meet nature, is what I call, you know, all I do at the moment is I introduce people to nature. So say, Bob, you're in trouble, nature, this is Bob. Bob, this is nature. Hope you guys get on. But I thought I'd just introduce you because I wasn't introduced to anything that was remotely good for me or alive. And so what I did is, once I started to have this genuine nutrition going into my body was relieved. I also got rid of all the rubbish coming in. And on a personal level, I was blessed. My asthma did vanish. I was lucky, but my asthma did go. Nature was on my side. It went away. My psoriasis completely cleared. This is an autoimmune disease. Please bear this in mind, Robin. I was told there was no known cure ever for this particular disease. It's not something that you just get rid of. And I used every cream potion to put on top. But of course, I was treating the symptom. I was never getting to the cause. So luckily for me, enough avocados, enough essential fatty acids going in. And of course, I added some herbs, burdock, red clover, various other jigsaw puzzly bits that needed for that particular disease. And so I cleared all my psoriasis. My eczema vanished entirely. I was also overweight, which I got rid of all my excess weight, which I suppose is a given. A healthy body is never overweight. That is just a given. But, you know, with my asthma, hay fever completely cleared up after taking ginger juice in particular, ginger and apple juice, which is a natural antihistamine, which I had no knowledge of. I didn't realize there were such a thing as a natural antihistamine. I thought everything must come in a pill form because we're never told otherwise. And because I had such dramatic changes, personally, is that when I became a juice evangelist, I just went crazy. I just wanted to juice the world. I lived on juice for 3 months. I just said to everybody, this is the way forward. And I was the juice novice. I didn't have a clue at the time, but I had enthusiasm. And I've learned an enormous amount over the 15 to 20 years that I have been genuinely doing it, conducting it, studying it, and dealing with genuine people with genuine diseases.
Yeah, all right. Well, you did get lucky, and that must have been extremely empowering for you at the time, and probably changed your views on health substantially. Clearly, people come to you for a huge range of reasons, from weight loss to diabetes, skin issues to heart problems, but I presume a portion of them actually have an interest because of cancer, either prevention or control. Do you have any programs that are tailored in this direction, or are you thinking of creating any?
I am creating one. One is juicing for cancer. And it's an incredibly emotive subject, even talking about it, writing about it for everybody. And of course, when it comes down to any quote unquote alternative help for that particular disease, it is very quickly not only beaten down, but also the person even suggesting such a thing is often beaten down with it. And that's where the challenge comes in. So it will be an incredibly balanced free download. It would be completely free, of course. Juicing for Cancer book or booklet, whatever it is, will be based on juicing and some of the testimonials over the years, which of course are anecdotal. Of course, they're genuine, obviously, but they're not scientific studies at all. And there have been some studies done on juicing with cancer, or particular with things like broccoli and cauliflower and various other bits, even eating them, have done. Unfortunately, I was attacked on Facebook years ago. My mother, unfortunately, had stage 4 lung cancer. She was diagnosed and was told that she was misdiagnosed with COPD, and they gave her an asthma pump when actually she had lung cancer. And then 4 years later, she was actually diagnosed, but by then it was too late. She was told she had 5 months to live, and all the wheatgrass in the world is not going to reverse that. In fact, all the anything in the world is not, the faith, and she did everything. Everything that you can imagine that we are told to do with 5 months to go, nature unfortunately was. She was stage 4 lung cancer, and it was severe. It was aggressive and severe, and my mother was my mother, my father, my brother, my sister. She was everything. So it was, my world went from color to black and white, and it has never gone back to color again, and I'm hoping one day it will, but I'm unsure how that will ever happen without my best friend in the world. So losing somebody of that magnitude to this horrific disease, which is what it is, can be unbelievably horrific. And what's harder is I get at least once every month, at least 2 or 3 emails that come in, and letters often, of people thanking me for my work, that actually their mother or their father, who, you know, whatever, had a particular cancer, or maybe it was breast cancer, it was stage 2 or stage 1, and they started juicing, and actually they didn't go down the medical route at all, and it's been completely reversed. And there's always a side of me that's incredibly happy that that's happened. Clearly, nature was really on their side. They were very lucky. But, of course, another part of me that really hurts incredibly, because to think that whatever I did to help my mother, it still didn't quite work. But hope is everything. You know, everybody still requires hope. My mom was, I consider, unlucky, where I consider other people that survive cancer through juicing or good food or the right way of thinking, and of course the right medical support too. Of course, I mean, this has to play a part. I'm not one of these alternative quackheads, you know. There's a balance here that is necessary, and unfortunately, I mean, interesting what's going on at the moment with the National Health Service here in the UK and weekend. I mean, she needed a stent put in, but unfortunately she went into hospital on the bank holiday weekend, and unfortunately it was the 4 days of not being able to get medical attention, having to wait till the Tuesday that ultimately led to her demise much faster than had she had the medical treatment. Now, I was screaming in the hospital that B&Q's open today. You know, I can go into B&Q open, but actually our health service isn't. So I have huge sympathy for our junior doctors and everybody else out there. We need a weekend service somehow. The government might need to give, and they might need to give more money, or something needs to happen. But something needs to give on some side, because we need a weekend service. You can't just say, no, we're not going to have a weekend service. I didn't realize we were closed during the weekend. I didn't realize. I had no idea. So there are ways, of course, that people can use juicing to treat cancers along with. It's to treat their body so their immune system starts firing on all cylinders. I mean, I don't even say treat cancer. What we're trying to do here is build the immune system to such an extent that it's firing on all cylinders, and we're not putting anything in that is going to feed the cancer. The white refined sugars, the refined fats, the rubbish. I'm a huge believer, Robin, you can't just have a juice and still eat the rubbish. You have to remove everything, all of the rubbish going in the body, and replace the deficiencies. Then, of course, you know, I mean, it's all in the book with other contributors, but there are other major parts along with that. So, yes, you have that nutrition going in, but it plays only a part. You know, spirit's number one, physical exercise is number two, and nutrition's number three. It's third on the list in my book. You know, but all three must play a part, as far as I'm concerned. Spirit, a reason to get out of bed, a reason to live, and then you've got the other things. But again, all of it's controversial, all of it's opinionated. So hopefully with this interview it'll come across, these are my opinions. Mm. But one thing I think is undisputed, Robin, is anybody with any illness of any kind, and anybody without any illness of any kind, requires good optimum nutrition going into their body every single day in the most bioavailable way. And I believe juicing is the way forward.
Mm, absolutely. Well, those top three, they'd be my top three. I tend to put it the spirit first. I agree with you there. I tend to put it nutrition, then exercise. But I mean, you know, they're certainly the top three. And yeah, good to hear you speak so passionately about your own personal situation. I think there are many people who are listening who will probably identify very closely with what you're saying about, you know, really the need to meet the desperate situation that's out there, and to really throw everything at it that we can in order to improve the situation for people. In recent years, the role of sugar in the promotion of cancer has had a higher and higher profile, and the ketogenic diet is becoming well known, and it's building an evidence base for supporting cancer programs. And there's now there's a fairly widespread concern amongst nutritionists about the natural sugars in fruit or indeed some root veg. What's your advice on this?
My advice would be, one of the very first people that started me juicing or inspired me to juice was a guy called Ross McGrath. He was in a newspaper in the UK, Daily Mirror, double page spread, so many years ago, it must be 20 years ago. And he had cured, as a big headline, "Man cures his cancer with carrots." And I still have the clip. It's a color one. And I looked at what this man was consuming, and he was juicing. And it was something that wasn't widely known, juicing at all. And he was juicing, and he was juicing. It was an enormous amount. I'm trying to remember the figure. It was something in the region of, I want to say, like 50 pounds in weight of carrots per week. We're no exaggeration. Like an enormous amount. He was told he had literally 2 months to live, 3 months to live. It was, you just mentioned there, Robin, about we need to throw everything at it. And when we talked about throwing everything at it, this man threw everything at it. He was also juicing leeks, which you've got not for the faint-hearted at all, but he was also juicing leeks. He was juicing an enormous amount of apples, and these were his staples, but enormous amounts. So if you think of the magnitude of sugar going into his system at the time, the believers that believe that all sugar, no matter where it comes from, feeds cancer, because that's the argument, then by that rationale, he should have passed away within a week, let alone the 2 months that he was diagnosed, because he's increased his intake of sugar. Does that make sense? So that's what he's doing, is increasing his intake of sugar to such an extent that I think that it would have had a negative impact if all sugars were the same. Actually, what happened was, a year later, he had no sign of cancer whatsoever. He didn't have any medical treatment whatsoever. And of course, they said he naturally went into remission, which is always lovely, as if it had nothing to do with it. He might have done, who knows, but it doesn't matter. One thing is for sure, though, is that all that sugar didn't have a negative impact That's the point I want to make. And that was one example. Now, since then, I've seen several more examples of this, where actually all the sugars, as far as I'm concerned, it's beyond science, this, Robin, that all sugars aren't the same. If you get yeast, for argument's sake, and you put white refined sugar, then it's going to go crazy. And you put it in the oven, it goes crazy. You put some apple with it, it doesn't happen. Well, why is that? I thought all sugars were exactly the same, but actually they're not. So something on a biochemistry level isn't the same. Also, if you've got somebody who's addicted to sugar, Robin. So if somebody's a real sugar head, which there are millions out there that are genuine white refined sugar heads. If my partner was a sugar head and I was leaving to go, and they don't normally cook, and I was leaving to go somewhere for a week, and I said, oh, I've left you all your dinner for the whole week in the fridge. Now, if a sugar head opened that fridge and all that was in the fridge was fruit, vegetables, and their juices, the sugar head will wonder where the food is, because none of that inside the fridge would satisfy them. Why wouldn't it if all the sugars were the same? I put somebody on a juice-only program for 7 days and they suffer sugar withdrawal. How is that possible if all they're consuming is apparently sugar? Because the sugars, I will maintain, and it will be proved in about 10 years when science finally catches up. But at the moment, we need to go, all we've got to go with is common sense. And if it, and you could get everybody off of white refined sugar by that rationale by just feeding them fruit. But they will eat fruit like it's going out of fashion and still want a donut because it's not the same, Robin. And so I'm of the opinion, and again, but it's an opinion, but I'm of the very strong opinion that were I on a personal level ever to be unfortunate and get cancer, I would not stop juicing apple juice with my vegetables. I would still primarily juice vegetables because they tend to be builders and fruits tend to be cleansers. So on that rationale, then I would naturally veer towards the builders anyway, which is what you're looking for. So I would go for the broccolis, the cauliflower juices, of course I would, and the celeries. But I would use cucumber as my main fruit, of course, because it is a fruit, but it's lovely. But I would definitely balance it with apple or pear for sure. But I wouldn't go the orange juice route, but only because there's enough vitamin C in most other things anyway, in green peppers. And actually, I want, if I'm going to juice, I'm going to do it properly, and I'm going to become a vegetarian when I'm juicing and a fruitarian when I'm eating. But I'm still going to eat fruit because it has so many antioxidants, which is what we're looking to consume. So again, but I don't want to confuse people out there. Again, look at all other opinions, but I would just say, look at the evidence above you. What, you know, by that rationale, there should be nobody that cures their cancer while they're having carrot juice, for example, because it's claimed that it's full of sugar, but actually they do. So therefore it can't be the same sugar.
Mm. Okay. Well, look, I must say, I do share your opinion that the science has yet to catch up, and I have a hard time believing that carrots are severely dangerous. But anyway, that is a concern these days, and so people are going to have to make up their own mind. Yeah, okay, so there's quite a bit of confusion about the difference between juices and smoothies. Would you like to tell us what the differences are practically and why you might choose one against the other, particularly if you've got cancer?
Yeah, very good question. Well, first of all, to break it down in the most simplistic form, your mouth is your blender. Your stomach is your juicer. There's the practical. We all own one. We already have one on us. The challenge is we don't use our blender anywhere near enough. We tend to bite and then swallow. So we don't chew our food 30 times. So ordinarily in the wild, there wouldn't be any need for a juicer anyway. But we don't blend our food enough, i.e. chew our food enough anyway. The juicing element of the world needs to be things like the broccolis of this world. I don't blend anything that's too fibrous. So a lot of these things with the NutriBullet, the Super Blends, or any of these other products that have come on the market, well, they've been on the market since the 70s, but they rebadged them, but now they've just become popular. They're called blenders, essentially. That's what they are. A smoothie maker that a famous company brought out was a blender with a tap, but it was still a blender. But people that owned a blender still bought a smoothie maker. People that owned a blender still bought a NutriBullet. It's just the way life is. Blenders really should be used for berries, soft fruits, things like mint, basil, those things that will blend quite easily. Not celery, no, it's too stringy. And also you end up with too much insoluble fiber going into your stomach too quickly. I don't like the NutriBullet recipe book. I don't believe that anybody who wrote that book ever genuinely made a recipe. I honestly believe they sat in an office and literally banged it out to go with the product, because you cannot put five carrots, one of the recipes, five carrots going into a Nutribullet blender along with two sticks of celery, along with four apples. Try it. You can't do it. And if you do it and add water, you're going to end up with a mush. And it's a big mush. And if you drink that mush too quickly, you cannot eat five carrots in the space of 3 minutes. It's impossible. So I only tend to blend anything that I can eat within the space of 3 minutes. I've got something, ironically, my lovely girl just made me a juice. Awesome. So I've got a lovely green juice just being brought.
I'm jealous.
I tend not to blend anything that I couldn't eat within the space of 2 or 3 minutes. That tends to be my rule. Mm-hmm. So I can eat half an avocado within 2 or 3 minutes. So therefore, I will blend half an avocado with some juice. Now, a juice I can consume. The juice of a product, you can consume quite rapidly. There's nothing wrong with that. It's rapid nutrition. But where people are getting it fundamentally wrong is they're getting their blends really wrong. It's putting them off as well. And they tend to think, oh, this is too heavy, this is too much, so I'm just going to make some fruit smoothies. And that's what most blenders or bullets now are being used for. Fruit smoothies, add some yogurt, add some this. And you're not really getting the essence of juicing going on in there. Nothing wrong with blends if they're done right. Coconut water, fantastic. Have some basil going in. Have some raw almond butter. These are where the blends really lift and you get a proper protein, natural blend going on. That's what they're for, the thick ones. But if you want real juicing, rapid nutrition, then you need a juicer for that because it extracts the juice contained within the fibers, does your stomach's job for it. People with all kinds of diseases, whatever stage they're at, various diseases as well, sometimes they can have a weakened digestive system, no question. So therefore, look how fibrous and how hard a carrot is. You put that into your stomach in its raw form, which is what we're talking about, which is what we need, the stomach is now got to try and juice it. That's what the stomach has to try and do. And if you're weak already, it's going to take a lot of energy. So therefore, we want to do the energy for your body, essentially. And that's why juicing really comes into its own. It's great when you're young, but it really comes into its own when we start hitting 40, 50, 60, 70. Because that's when we really need that rapid nutrition where our digestive system starts to get tired. And we need more nutrition properly than ever. So juicers versus blenders, they both are necessary. Absolutely. You can't juice an avocado. You can't juice one of the best herbs on planet Earth, which is a banana. It's not a fruit. It comes from a berry tree. And I think it is the best superfood on planet Earth other than avocado. Avocado is number one. You can't beat an avocado. Nothing will ever touch an avocado. Science can't touch it. A banana is next. You mix a banana and avocado, half a banana, half an avocado, into a blender with a load of veggie juice, a little bit of apple. You almost can't get anything more nutritionally perfect in my mind. It is rich, it is creamy, it is satiating, it contains all the amino acids, all the fatty acids, all the antioxidants, and it is also incredibly easy to digest. It is a phenomenal powerhouse of nutrition that you can drink over the space of about 5 minutes. Put it in a wine glass and it just looks even better, and it should be honored in the same way that something like some wines are.
Right, so in the main, you would say that juicing is a more powerful delivery method for people who are very sick with cancer than smoothies, but smoothies would have a place.
Yeah, without any question. And I think what we're looking for really with anybody with cancer is getting the ones that actually they can look at the studies, the broccoli juice of this world that doesn't blend well at all. So you need to extract that juice contained particularly within the ends of broccoli, the bit that people throw away. You know, the stem, that's where you want to really extract the juice, preferably in a slow masticating juicer where possible, because it's not just the juicer, it's the level of juicer that you get. So what you're looking to do is apply less heat friction. So you need the cauliflower juices. You do need, in my book, the carrot juices, but you also need the chlorophyll-rich spinach, the chlorophyll-rich kale. Wheatgrass juice will always be something that I believe is a must-have. Not a like to have, it's a must have. You can buy frozen wheatgrass shots, already done now. So even if you're too weak to make it, people make it with slow juicers now. You can even get juicers made with slow juicers frozen sent to your door as well, so if you're too weak. So there are ways to do it that you literally just defrost and they're ready to go as well. But if you're going to juice for cancer, essentially, or juice for health, a slow juicer, masticating without any question, and make sure you get tons of vegetable juice, but go for the green, darker. And if you look at carrots and one's bright and one's dark, go for dark. Dark is what you're looking for. That's where that's the beta carotene. That's the level of nutrition you're looking for.
Okay. So good. We're going to talk about the equipment a bit in a minute, I hope. Meanwhile, I wanted to ask you about particular ingredients for people with cancer. I mean, you've mentioned a few already. Wheatgrass is obviously up there as being kind of the heart of some dietary therapy. But is there anything else that you particularly put up there as something that people with cancer should definitely take a look at?
Yeah, broccoli, cauliflower, cabbage, without question. These three, broccoli number one, cauliflower number two, cabbage number three, without any question, these things are the big guns. They are the big guns, and they need to play a very active role.
Yeah, and how about the little additions you might put in a juice, such as ginger or maybe a bit of turmeric or something like that? Do you do that?
Well, ginger, I would always say ginger is the best, the most common. Turmeric is really good and everything else, but to me, it doesn't give you anything that ginger doesn't personally. I just think, I honestly think that sometimes we start looking for things because they tend to be hip, trendy, they tend to be of the hour, they tend to be the Notting Hill gang that really start promoting it, when actually, you stick to the big guns, the staples that everybody recognizes, they know, they're not frightened of it, and everybody knows ginger. And ginger's been used as what I call a doctor food or a doctor root for centuries, and it will never go away. And the juice of it is incredibly powerful. I would also add on to that things like lemon and limes. You can't get these kickers. Chilies are also phenomenally good. Chili juice is really good.
Wow.
Just really for not for the faint-hearted. You only need a tiny amount. But it's really good. It's very powerful. You add some chili in, little kickers going on with your juice, and it just adds a little bit of je ne sais quoi. But you've also, cucumber juice really is the big gun. That adds the volume. Cucumber is the fruit. It's the cleanser. It's the natural diuretic. It helps to flush everything from the body. So getting the goodness in is great, but don't forget the body's looking to expel. It wants to expel the rubbish too. So cucumber juice, it should be your number one staple, along with apple juice, because you've got the soluble fiber, the pectin. So you do need apple and pear juice as the balancer. Not a great deal, but enough just to balance your juice.
Okay. So can we get onto the equipment now? Firstly, the juicers. I mean, the range is massive, from models for a few quid right up to thousands. Can you just run through what's out there and what kind's best, and how much do you think people should spend?
Well, you spend what you can spend. I mean, to be honest with you, there's Dr. Norman Walker, the great juice pioneer, essentially. I mean, he was one of the originals, to say the very least. Died peacefully in his sleep at the age of 109. Beautiful, quintessential man. If you read his books, they are old English, but phenomenal. He invented the first ever domestic juice extract. It was called the Norwalk. You look at it now, you think, domestic? Are you joking? It weighs a ton. You can't move it. It's a hydraulic press. It takes an hour to make a juice. But it is the best quality juice in the world. So if you've got somebody else who can make your juice, if you can afford a Norwalk, you can go on and you've got cancer and you want the best thing, that's probably the best you're going to get is a hydraulic press. However, these days, there isn't a gulf of difference now between the hydraulic press and some of the masticating juices, the cold press juices. They're really good now. And again, all comes down to budget, but really, you get a really good one for about £300 now. You know, £300 will get you a really good one. You've got things like the Madstone 6-in-1. You've got the Retro Cold Press. That's the new one on the market. Really, really cool. You've got the Green Star Twin Gear, which has always been an amazing juicer, to say the least. But there's tons of them. These are three brands that I've just named, you know. But there are tons that you need to do the research. Go out there and have a look. I would say now there's a lot that you can put whole apple in now, which is actually really useful, that you don't have, because everything can be an effort depending on the stage cancer that you have. You might have the help or the support. Retro is one of those that you can put the thing through. But I would say about £300 is sufficient enough to get a decent masticating juicer. But do your research, have a look around, and just make sure it fits your needs. If you can't afford one, and you can only afford a fast juicer, they're still phenomenal. Ross McGrath, my man who juiced his way with carrots, he only had a fast juicer. Happy days. Fast juicers are still great. They do apply a little bit of heat friction, but they're not a donut, you know. So you still get tons of nutrition, but you must drink it as close to making it as possible. That's the key with the fast one, whereas a slow juicer, you can store the juice away from light, away from oxygen, for anything up to 72 hours. So that's the key. You can make a batch if you're feeling good on a particular day.
Maybe you want to just say a little bit of detail about the difference between a fast and slow juicer and why the slow juicer is the preferable.
A slow juicer or masticating juicer is what it is. It's a slow juicer. Normal revs per minute are about 65, as low as that actually on something like the Retro, which means that there's no heat friction. Now, heat, obviously, the more heat you apply to something, and then, of course, the nutritional content goes down. That just happens to be a fact. The more you cook something, it goes down. Raw nutrition is what we are looking for. So, therefore, anything that doesn't create that amount of heat friction. A fast juicer's anything up to 15,000 revs per minute. I mean, that can create quite a lot of heat friction. Blending, of course. If you blend too long, that creates a bit of heat friction at the same time. So that's why cold press juicing is probably the way to go for something like cancer.
Okay, great. And one of the other things that I've come to realize about juicers that sort of sets one apart from another is the ease of use of them. Some of them are actually a bit of a pig to clean up afterwards, and they put you off, don't they?
Well, they do, they all. But my argument is this, it's new to your world, you see. And the thing is that we have to clean everything. If we had that same argument with everything, we wouldn't do anything. We wouldn't change our bed. We wouldn't even go to bed. We'd go, no, I've got to change the bed covers. We wouldn't put our clothes on. No, I've got to clean them one day. Jamie Oliver's 30-minute meals took 2 hours. Why did you? So we joke, why did it take 2 hours? Because you've got 17 pounds, you've got to clean up. We tend to cook and not think about it. I would say getting the nutrition into your body every single day is the most important thing you're ever going to do. So if it requires 5 to 10 minutes of cleaning up, then so be it. Now, luckily, it doesn't. If you've got a really good slow juicer now, that again, you need everything to be quicker. And again, I'm referring to just the one that I've got personally. It's a Retro. You've got a whole wide funnel, and it's easier to clean than any others because it does a semi-cleaning process. You can clean it as you go with some hot water and put the cap on, and it cleans it. And so there are ways to do it. A self-cleaning juicer hasn't been invented yet. It will one day, and that's obviously the holy grail. That's what we're looking for, that it cleans itself. But you know what? Find one that just meets your needs and you can just clean. But if you've got a slow juicer, it means that you can make an entire batch because it's continuous juicing, so you haven't got to keep cleaning it in between. Mm-hmm. So you're juicing maybe once all day on a Sunday, you're putting them into containers, you're then freezing those containers, and you can even keep them for a month and then take them out the night before, because freezing, you only lose 5% of the enzyme activity, mm-hmm. whereas cooking is what destroys it, not freezing.
Okay, on to blenders for smoothies. Again, there's a pretty large range. Is there any reason to spend 500 quid on a blender?
I would say if you've got the money, I would say loathly, I would say yes. And the only reason why I'm saying that is because there are two brands, and I don't get paid by these brands. I want people to know this, right? No, I'm not getting paid. When I say Vitamix, I don't get paid by them at all. And I don't get paid by Blendtec either. But Blendtec, Vitamix, these kind of blenders, which are the upright kind that you can kind of blend anything. You can put an iPod in, it'll blend it. Right. The beauty of them, of course, is that you can pulverize anything. And it means that you can add your nuts, you can add your seeds, you can add your other bits and pieces. Even an avocado that's not ripe, at least you can at least put it in and it'll blitz it like it is ripe. And so that's the beauty of those kind of, and there's no bits left in it. So they are great, but they're normally for juice bar territory. Then you've got something like the Nutribullet. So there's Nutribullet, the Nutri Ninja, and the Retro Super Blend. They're all the same, pretty much, in my book. They're the bullet type things. What's brilliant about these blenders is that they all pass the carrot test, which means you can put water in it and a carrot and it'll blend it. And not many blenders do, but you put it in a standard blender, that's not going to happen, right. Which means they pulverize, which is fantastic. It also means they come with about 15 different pieces, which means that you can have like 4 different juices that you can put into their jugs, into their cup holders, and off you go. They hold quite a lot and they're very convenient and they're small, compact for your kitchen. I'm a fan of the Bullet, the Nutri Ninja, and the Retro Super Blend. I think they're great products. The Nutri Bullet was a great product in the 1970s. It was called the Magic Bullet. It was the same product. They haven't changed it. They just rebadged it. But now there's new players in the market. Mm-hmm. So I would say that where you can get it wrong with a blender is where you get one of these standard blenders that maybe are 50 quid. But some of the 50 quid blenders are equally really good as well. So I'm allowed to say, but you've got to look at the blades. The blades in a blender must face down as well as up. If they all face up, it's not going to blend things like frozen fruit or ice and stuff like that. It's just have a look at it. Have a look down. They must go in all direction. If they go in all direction, 9 times out of 10, you're going to have a pretty decent blend.
Can we go back to your personal experience of juicing now? Okay, you turn your life around with juice. What do you look at as your kind of day-to-day?
Well, it's changed over the years. Honest, I was very, very anal for 5 years.
Yeah.
And wouldn't go near anything. And then I've found a balance now. So how I live my life now is very simple. I live on nothing but juice for 2 days a week. That's just a given every week. It's a staple. It keeps me healthy. I know what I'm doing. I have enough nutrition. I juice every morning. That's a staple, unless I happen to be at a hotel and they've got a particularly lovely buffet. But other than that, because I'm human, we're all human. Mm-hmm. But I tend to juice when I have control of my nutrition. I juice every day for sure. And I tend to eat well, very well, for 3 days a week and juice 2 days a week. And then what I'm a lot more flexible with now is understanding the body has a filtration system. And I have a weekend like everybody else. You know, and that's the difference of what my life is now. So the weekend, I'll have scrambled eggs on toast. Admittedly, they tend to be supercharged scrambled eggs on rye bread toast. So, yeah, again, I'm not that much of a rebel. But equally, I can go around anybody's house for dinner and have whatever they're eating now. I'm that flexible. I mean, we can't invite Jason for dinner anymore because the guy drives us crazy. Do you know what I mean? I'll have coffee in my house. I'll have a cheeky cappuccino. Things I didn't drink coffee or tea for years and years and years and years and years. On the whole, I drink green tea. On the whole, and I drink peppermint tea, but I'll have a cheeky cappuccino. But this is from somebody who used to drink 14 to 16 pints of lager a day, and I used to smoke 2-3 packets of cigarettes a day. I took drugs because I grew up in Peckham in London. My body dealt with all of that. It can deal with a cappuccino once a weekend, you know what I mean? Like we've got to put balance. What I will say, though, is that if I were unlucky enough, and I've put myself through such hell that you never know. One day I might be on it. It's indiscriminate cancer. We know how indiscriminate it is. Mm-hmm. Even no matter how good somebody may be or not be, it's irrelevant sometimes for some people. If I ever did get it, one thing I know for certain, even those other little bits that I might be having here and there, they'll go completely out the window. I would be 100% clean. I mean, I would not put anything into my system. I just wouldn't. I would know how committed I would be because it would be that important in my world. And again, I know that's not always easy. Some people are addicted. That's a completely different podcast going on because it's no good. I feel like often I'm the person that I hate the most, which is the State the Obvious Brigade. I hate them. I hate these people that see somebody sinking in quicksand and say, you need to get out of the quicksand. Well, thank you, Shirk. I know this. It's like telling somebody who's hooked on refined sugar they shouldn't eat it anymore. Hmm. They know this. It's not rational to them. They're addicted, and addiction's an awful, awful thing because you don't understand why you're doing it. You just know why you shouldn't do it. And it's based on a very simple confidence trick. Stopping smoking is the number one thing, and this is why, listen, I've got an app. I'm not selling it. It's free, genuinely free. When my mom passed away, I immediately made it free. It felt wrong that we was even charging for it. Stop smoking in 2 hours on it, and there's no in-app purchases. There's no upsell to anything else. You know, when I say genuinely free, I'm talking genuinely free. And you cannot, because smoking killed me, you cannot, if you've got cancer of any kind and you're finding it difficult to stop smoking, despite the State the Obvious Brigade. Because the State of the Obvious Brigade doesn't. And sometimes you don't just go off it. People think you're mad, but addiction's so frigging strong. Arthur Askey, an old wartime comedian here in the UK, he had his leg cut off because he was smoking, and he still continues smoking, and had the other leg cut off. And people call him stupid. He wasn't stupid. He was addicted. And that addiction's so strong. It's a fear. You live in fear of not being able to cope with your life without your crutch. And that fear is bigger than having your leg cut off. So I would say, look, download that, you know, if that's what you want to do, in 2 hours you could be free. So that's what I would say on that front.
Okay, great. And so can we take a little sidestep here and just talk about the psychological side of this? There's no doubt about it that actually changing what you're putting into yourself and actually being quite selective about choosing things that you deem to be really good for you has a big effect on your psychology. And you must have experienced this yourself when you did your big clean out. Of course, the psychology around cancer is very hard indeed. A lot of people are very depressed by the treatment and by the general situation of being up against it. But a good diet can actually affect this.
Well, it can, but it depends on the person. I mean, I go back to just talking about addiction. If somebody is heavily addicted to, so take a smoker, for example, and if you take the cigarettes away from a smoker, now obviously we know that non-smokers, obviously, are going to be overall happier than a smoker. For one, they haven't got to stand outside a building in the freezing cold and so on and so forth. However, you tell that to a smoker you've just taken the cigarettes away from, then obviously it will affect their mood, but not for the positive. Equally, if somebody who is a sugar addict and you take away the food that they want, if they really want it, and you give them fruits and vegetables, then actually in the short term, their mood might not improve, ironically, because again, we've got to take that into account. Mm-hmm. However, if we take the example, it's of somebody who's more than happy to shift and to have this nutrition coming in because they want to, then actually it has a very quick effect on the mind, because you cannot feed your biochemistry in your blood because it just happens to pass through your brain. It's your head office. That's where it is. So it has to affect your mental psyche, because of course it does. And there is no question. You've only got to look at somebody who's been for a night on the booze even, and heavily, not only heavily drinking, but eating rubbish last thing at night with a burger van man at 3 a.m. and not enough sleep. They wake up and then ask them to give you a report on the low to, you know, a work report. They won't be able to function properly. So that's an exaggerated thing. But equally, when we're consuming the wrong foods, it's a dulling of the brain. We don't realize. We don't understand how dull we feel until we're out the other side. When people come on my retreat and 7 days later, they just, all of them say, it's like the fog has lifted. That's what they say. That's all they ever say. It's like a fog. And they don't really even realize they're in the fog, because that's how everybody normally thinks. So the minute the fog lifts with this nutrition, and it's not just the nutrition that helps them lift the fog. It's the, you got rid of the rubbish too. This combination that I come back to time and time again. You know, so by getting rid of the rubbish that was dulling your senses and then adding the nutrition that where your brain can fire again on all cylinders, it just gives you that sharpness, that I call it your mental mojo. That's what it does. We all miss our mental mojo, and that's what we want back. We want our mental mojo, and that's what great nutrition genuinely does. And you said you need that when you have kids. Unless you have the mental mojo, it's a catch-22. Without the mental mojo, you feel depressed. When you're depressed, you just want a chocolate bar or something like that. And so you think, frig it, I might only have 6 months to live. Give me a bloody chocolate bar. So it's a whole knock-on effect. But if you can get just 3 weeks under your belt, 21 days to make that change, just 3 weeks, then at the end of 21 days, you'll be craving the green stuff.
Right. Okay. So we talked at the beginning about the program you're thinking about for cancer. And you actually say in the introduction to your chapter in The Cancer Revolution that Juicing for Cancer could be a book all to itself. So you mentioned the word booklet, but are you actually thinking this is something you might develop into a full book?
No, it's going to be a down. It literally will be a free download. I was going to call it The Elephant in the Room. That was going to be the title of it.
That's a good title.
I think it's probably a better title. Because it's one of those things that you just, no one's allowed to talk about. Because it is the elephant in the room. You're not really allowed to talk about it in the alternative world, which is why this particular book that you've got involved and put together is such a breakthrough as far as I'm concerned. And it can spawn other things. So it's not going to be a full-on book, but it will be a booklet that will probably develop into more than a booklet. But to call it an actual book, I'm unsure. But it will be free, 100%. There's no question.
That's fantastic. It's going to be free. That's a great resource for people. Anyway, I'm very heartened by the way the general climate is moving. When Yes to Life was set up like 11 years ago, you know, it was much more hostile. And, of course, the public was far less informed than they are now. The internet has been brilliant for just getting the word out about what people are achieving with juicing, good nutrition. And so it is actually a much friendlier climate into which we brought the book, The Cancer Revolution. And I don't imagine for a minute we won't get some bad-mouthed about it to a certain extent, but I think the public is very much more ready to hear this kind of message now.
I think they are. I think they're open to it. But what I particularly like about Yes to Life and your charity is that there are plenty of resources now, and all the charities are aimed, of course, at people that want to primarily use medical intervention, no matter what that is, and there's plenty of resources. What I particularly loved and why I got involved a few years ago was because, let's just say somebody is also using low-dose chemotherapy, for argument's sake, like in the Oasis Clinic over in, I think it's America, but they also want to use alternative as a balance to go with it, or even just alternative by itself, is that if you wanted to send somebody, for argument's sake, on a health holiday, now, of course, the NHS aren't going to do that. We call it health holidays. The wrong word is holiday. But if they wanted, like when I had psoriasis, the NHS would not pay for me to go down to the Dead Sea in Israel. But yet Germany, Holland, Denmark, all of them had camps down there that were paid for by their health service because they knew that the UVC rays were vital for treating psoriasis and the zinc and the selenium in the water down at the Dead Sea. But we would rather here in this country wrap up somebody in psoriasis in coal tar treatment, which is the stuff you put on your road, and burn their skin to smithereens for 6 weeks. The irony is, costs more money. So that's the irony. So what I love about Yes to Life is that people can approach you, which is what I love. And if there's enough in the kitty and you feel they're a worthwhile case, you look into them, is that if they need something, like they might need some zinc supplements or they might need something else, you can just go, you know what, you can't get these anywhere else because we understand you're short on money, but you know what, we'll send you to Hippocrates. We'll send you to da-da-da, whatever it is. I don't know what it is fully, but the point is that that's how I see this charity really growing. For those people that might not be able to afford a juicer. I don't know, whatever it is. You know, we've got a small foundation that we do that every now and then. We give loads of people free retreats. We give loads of free juicers away. Oh, yeah, behind the scenes, and I haven't mentioned it publicly till now because it sounds like, oh, I don't want to mention what I do for charity, mate. You know what I mean? But it's what we do. We all naturally want to give back. That's the nature of what we do. Surely we want to help and give back at the same time. So I love the charity. I love the book. And any small negativity you get will be from just uninformed people that want to jump on the bandwagon of just attacking instead of understanding that the vast majority of contributors in that book are all for short-term medical intervention. We're not anti-doctor, anti-pharmaceutical at all. In fact, it's the antithesis of that. If they've understood it properly, they will understand it is not us on one side and them on the other side. Nothing could be further from the truth. So I really hope people understand where we're coming from.
Well, thanks for speaking up for integrative medicine. Yeah, we're actually all about adding to what is already on offer out there. Yeah, really great. So, look, I really appreciate your support for Yes to Life, and I really also appreciate you contributing completely free of charge to the cancer revolution. And, it's really good to feel you behind us. And so thanks a lot, and thanks for talking to us all today.
Pleasure, Robin.
Well, as I said at the start of the show, Jason was my final guest in the series of 9 shows about the cancer revolution. The book's now been available for just over a week, and sales are brisk. It's been hovering around the number 2 spot in oncology on Amazon, which is great news. If you want a copy yourself, or you'd like to find out more about the book, then go to thecancerrevolution.co.uk or visit Amazon or other booksellers. The book has its own Twitter feed, @CancerRev, and a Facebook page. And on the social media front, please do follow me on Twitter, @RMK_daily, as well as Yes to Life itself, @YesToLife. And there's a Facebook page for me and for the charity. Next week's show is going to be a really interesting one. You may have heard Liz Butler around Christmas time talking about nutrition. Well, I have her as a guest again, but this time talking about a totally different dimension of cancer. Cancer as a loss of connection. It's set to be a fascinating exploration, so I hope you can listen. Goodbye.